continuing on, we have a time reserved always for a public forum. So this is items that are not on the agenda. I have a number of speaker cards. Looks like I might have another one. So I'm going to try and group these in areas of interest. It looks like there are some general themes within this. So the first person is Mr. James Gubetta. Patty, could you make sure that the timer's working, please? So
yes.
We have a meeting today where we have to be out of here at 5. So I'm going to write the clock a little bit today, just as time management. If we could be concise, watch that timer. It's typically 3 minutes. By the way, we always take written comments. So public forum is just for us to be talking. If you want to follow up, I know that's 3 minute window is not very much, but if you follow up in writing, we certainly appreciate that if you can't get it in. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, honorable chair, board members, and staff members. My name is James Gubetta, and I've lived in Weed since 1930. I was the International Paper Company's log yard supervisor from 1979 to the closure of 1983, and the water discharge was under my supervision at that time. I worked for Law Mill Lumber Company from 1943 on and off until 1983. I lived on the Griffin Ranch before it became the log yard, so I am familiar with everything that took place. The water use and drainage was and still a question of legal use and disposal. I have before me, which I'm going to present to you folks, the disposition that had taken place before the federal court in San Francisco, and it was the company's engineer, Howard Neal, who was supposedly to be in charge of all the discharge of the water. My history is very, and I'll be very brief. I spent 22 years on the Air Pollution Control Board, 10 and a half years on the City Council. I've resided here, this is repeat, since 1930. I may be able to testify to you folks where the bodies are buried, and thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Feel free to take a seat if you wish, by the way. Stay a while. City of Wairika, Ms. Jeanette Block, I believe it is. Forgive me if I get your name wrong.
Got some handout material for you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Jeanette Hook. I'm with the Department of Public Works in the City of Wairika. One day, about 12 years ago, 2006-ish, the Water Board staff came to Wairika and to tell us about the TMDL that was being approved for the Shasta River. And they were very surprised to hear that Wairika had a master plan for our largest storm drain, Wairika Creek, that has been in place since about 1989. So my presence here today is to make sure that that doesn't happen again. You guys should know that Wairika is taking a very innovative and very integrated approach to our watershed, and it's a proactive approach because we've been working on it for over 30 years, and we are trying to restore Wairika Creek. We have a number of really excellent examples, and the second page of the handouts that I've provided for you we'll show you the work that we have completed as well as the work that's in progress. We have put about $15 million worth of money into restoring Wairika Creek at this point. You can see by looking at the table of contents of the master plan, which is also part of what I've shared with you, It's a very holistic kind of a document, and it provides us with a blueprint for how to deal with the watershed, not only on Wairika Creek, but also throughout the community. We're integrating our flood management, our habitat, our MS4 requirements, the restoration of the flow itself and trying to keep it on the surface for the fish, the riparian corridor. We have some very, very cool things going on in Wairika. We have some demonstration sites. I would love to invite you to come and see them. We've attempted to get scheduled to actually give you a full presentation on this material. That just hasn't happened yet. Colleen Hunt, we were working with, and now she's left. So one of these days, we will be able to come in and tell you all about it. We would love to give you a tour while you're here. Please let me know if you are interested. Just give any of us a call. Everybody at City Hall will know how to catch up with me. And if you have any questions, we would love to share them with you.
Mr. Justy. Mr. Chair, thank you. I just wanted to thank you for coming and sharing this with us. I'm a strong believer, if you don't toot your own horn, nobody else toots it for you. And obviously there's a lot of passion, a lot of good work that goes into this. And Mr. Chair, I'd like to take a tour someday to see this. So thanks for sharing. That's all I want to say.
I wanted to agree with that and perhaps sharpen it a little bit, that the next time we come up here, if we can make sure we arrange a tour, that'd be helpful.
Jeanette, by the way, I'm sorry I mispronounced your last name. I had a hard time reading your card. I've actually been on my Wairika Creek a couple times. We actually looked at it one time. Our former board member, Jeff Hale, did some work, I believe, as in his professional work for McBanion Trush. There was, I believe, some flow studies that was, I think it was down near Montague Road. Beautiful. Thank you so much for this. You actually connected together quite a lot of dots there in a short period of time with MS4 and TMDL and watershed and flood. You pretty much got the whole list of food here. We'd be honored to come and look at your creek.
Mr. Chairman, I might point out that we are doing this as a result of pressure from our community. It is not a regulatory pressure that we are responding to. So our community is very interested in this and is wholeheartedly endorsing the Wairika Creek Greenway.
Yeah, it runs right through town parallel to I-5. It's really a pretty little corridor right there. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Nick.
All right, next I have Mr. Jim Taylor.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate just a few minutes of your time. I'll be very brief. My name is Jim Taylor. I am a 54-year resident of Weed and president of WCWC, the Water for the Citizens of Weed, California. Not only are we in a fight for our Bohan Spring water rights, another concern for me is our aging sewer system. Our water rights and industrial effluent from Roseburg were part of a very flawed water lease agreement signed by the city in April 2016 under extreme duress. My question to you is, can a company completely outside the city limits of Weed be forced to accept the industrial effluent? This property in question is a registered Superfund site. To my knowledge, there has been no environmental review on the proposed change, and it's absolutely not possible for our current sewer system to handle the extra load. So, thank you.
Let me ask a question of staff, Mr. Taylor. Have we had any notification or any other information on this at all?
We definitely have. We're engaged and look forward to continuing to work with you on that issue.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes, and feel free again, Mr. Taylor, feel free to provide us anything written. Of course, I think staff engagement, you've touched on a couple of things with industrial effluent. You've talked about wastewater treatment, and I believe water rights as it relates to the spring. Some of the water right issue we don't deal with, but at the same time, if you have issues, please follow up in writing or directly with Mr. St. John.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming. Mr. Geneva Lamont.
Good morning. I want to point out that
The water that is collected by Mount Shasta and flows downstream.
Can you state your name, please?
Geneva Oman, O-M-A-N-N.
Thank you.
Could you start the timer again, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. The water collected by Mount Shasta that flows downstream, either underground or on the surface, is exceptionally clean, high-quality water of the state. It deserves exceptional protection and oversight. I understand that Roseburg Forest Products has submitted some kind of a permit application to your agency. Does that permit cover all of the wastewater streams that are generated by RFP? When will the public be able to review that application? And I request that there be the opportunity for public evaluation and input of that application, including public hearings. I'm concerned about that wastewater for a number of reasons. Part of this lease agreement between Roseburg and the City of Weed requires that the City of Weed take Roseburg's industrial wastewater. Well, if the city hasn't already been taking that waste, where has it been going? It seems to me there are several sources that are of concern here, wastewater potentially problematic from that plant. There's logging water. They sprinkle their piles of logs with water. What happens to the runoff from that? I understand there are some kind of maybe holding ponds, but where does it go from there? It seems there'd be the great potential for some of that water to end up in groundwater or in the surface. There are stormwater issues. Again, in this lease, initially in the lease discussions with the city, Roseburg was trying to get the city to take responsibility for their stormwater issues. What happens to that water? RFP is a Superfund site. Is there the potential for pollutants to be mobilized by that runoff water, the stormwater as well as the logging water? The cogen plant generates effluent. There's water from the cooling towers and possibly other sources related to that. I've heard rumors that ends up in some of our local surface waters. How is that being monitored, regulated, and controlled to protect our surface and ground waters? Water is used within the plant. I've toured that plant with my kids on school field trips, and there's a big indoor pool with hot steaming water where they soak the logs before they go on the veneer cutter. What happens to that water? It seems like there are pollution as well as temperature issues with that water. I understand they have irrigation fields. Are these being used? What water is going there if that's the case? And there may be other sources there that I'm not aware of. How will all this wastewater, how is it handled? How is it permitted? How is it monitored to make sure that it's not further, that it's not contaminating the high quality waters we have up here? And I ask you to please, please do all you can to protect the high quality waters of this region. Thank you.
Thank you, Geneva. Any questions? Geneva, can I ask you to follow with a letter then? You've raised a lot of specifics here. I took some notes. I know that I'm watching staff's taking notes. You've obviously got specifics. Can I ask that you follow with a letter then directed to Mr. Matt St. John of our regional board?
I certainly will do that.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Vicki Gold.
Victoria Gold.
Can I ask you, Victoria, can you close that laptop right there so we can see you?
Yes. I am vertically challenged.
It's okay. I should have
Thank you. I am extremely vertically challenged. Thank you very much for being here today. I'm representing Water Flows Free, which is a group of citizens in the Mount Shasta and Weed area, plus tourists who come here who highly value our pristine gravity-fed water. In alignment with what Geneva just said, I am also very concerned about two things. I'm concerned about the type of soils that we have here. We have DEETS 125 soils, principally, which are, I am not an engineer, but today I am speaking for one of our group who has a cardiac condition and couldn't be here. He is a 30-year long employee of the Forest Service, and it apparently is true that the infiltration and percolation rates of Dietz 125 soil is usually 6 to 18 minutes. Apparently, the recent Crystal Geyser Pace Engineering tested while they were doing their investigations for the plant in Mount Shasta, the percolation rate was 35 minutes. So we're very, very concerned about all of the leach ponds, the stormwater drainage of both Roseburg and Crystal Geyser. We have heard a rumor that Crystal Geyser is considering purchasing the property adjacent and that some leach fields will be allowed, or they're going to attempt to have those incorporated so they don't have to put everything into the sewer system. We would like to be certain that you're monitoring that, and would prefer, of course, that everything go into the municipal sewer system. In Mount Shasta, there is a brownfield situation where they received very nice property from Roseburg. However, I don't know how many millions. The rumor is over $3 million has been invested of taxpayer and ratepayer funds to remediate, and they've only remediated 70% of that property. It's 127 acres here. There is rumor that Roseburg will be selling. They've already sold their timber rights. We don't want the state and the residents to be left with all of that pollution of 2,500 acres, approximately, next to the, including the most pristine water in the state. So we're asking that you let us know, have a public hearing when that permit is, if possible, when the permit is complete. I understand it will be complete around November. Your response to it maybe by January of 2019. And I'm very encouraged that, you know, you are investigating these things. I've had excellent communications with your staff, and I feel that the confusion for us is that, as the previous speaker said, there are so many different aspects of water, and it's confusing to us, you know, who does storm drainage, who does flow, how are they able to divert the Bowles Creek, Igerna water over to plant to the Bahan Springs waters, and who is measuring that to see whether the 5 cubic feet per second that the tribe and the downstream users are promised, they're really kind of robbing from Peter to pay Paul. So we would like to be sure that somebody comes and actually measures those flows so that we know that they're not in violation as they were in the past. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's change gears for a minute. Betsy Staples.
Good morning, Betsy Stapleton, and I'm here today to talk about the J.H. Ranch issue. I do have interaction with your staff on multiple issues, both as a local rancher and as a watershed council member. And as I mentioned to you before, your staff uniformly as a whole is extremely public service minded. And I have to know that comes from your direction. And I want to take a moment to commend the board for developing an organizational culture that's responsive to the community. One of your staff members yesterday said to me, "I am your public servant," and that is a beautiful thing to hear from members of a bureaucracy, and not always the attitude. So thank you very much. Part of your staff is Roy O'Connor and Charles, that have now worked with us for about 3 years on the J.H. Ranch issue. And about 3 years ago, you guys issued a waste treatment order. And now, 3 years later, in spite of these your staff members' very diligent follow-up, we still don't know how their waste treatment system operates. We don't have basic defendable data from them. And we really feel like, in spite of your general direction to work with permittees to achieve successful accomplishment of their waste discharge orders, that it may be time to ask this organization to move forward more rapidly and perhaps even issue some enforcement orders. 3 years is a very long time to achieve some basic mechanisms of a waste discharge order, like how does the system work and what is the data coming out of it. I'm going to shift gears a little bit to kind of the larger JH issue, which is that that waste treatment system only is treating a very, very small proportion of their total discharge. They're buying up properties all the way around, and then using individual waste, you know, septic systems. And there does not, so far, seem to be a mechanism to require them to address the cumulative and total impacts of their activities. And I'm wondering if moving sort of the focal point away from Roy to maybe your watershed steward here, hi, Eli, in the same way that you're looking at ranching activities, what is the total impact of the ranch on the beneficial uses of a certain stream? Let's ask JH, with all of their ancillary properties, which we believe is a deliberate business strategy to avoid addressing their cumulative impacts, let's look at all that. So that would be my request to the board, that you direct your staff to continue to work with us, which we really appreciate, but maybe expand it into some of the different silos of your organization to get a handle on the totality of this very large and wealthy and aggressive organization's impact on French Creek.
Betsy, thank you so much. Any questions for Betsy? Betsy, I remember when we took on the J.H. Ranch item, and that was an order from us before it. Provide any comments or ask for comments from the board on that. There's a couple more speaker cards.
Yes.
So I'm just going to take these comments, these public comments, and if there's any comments from the board, let's just take these comments and then we'll go from there.
Thank you. Right. All right.
Thank you so much. Michael Stapleton is next, followed by Bill Mao.
Left my man.
Bill, I'm Michael Stapleton. Thank you for coming to beautiful Siskiyou County. I'm the owner of French Creek Ranch. My wife and I, it has French Creek going through. We own almost 3/4 of a mile of some of the best coho spawning stream in the state of California. At the headwaters of this creek is this industrial JH Ranch septic sewer system. It processes 45, it has a capacity of allegedly processing 45,000 gallons a day. The leach fields are on a bench right above, right next to the creek. And we spoke 3 years ago, and you guys required the monitoring plan. However, you required twice a year they're supposed to do. And what they're doing is they're cherry picking the dates. And even picking November after 5 years of drought and August of last year to do the groundwater monitoring, the groundwater levels are 3 to 6 feet from the surface of the ground, which is well outside the standards. So what I would I'd like to request that you guys request a monitoring, at least groundwater and surface water monitoring once a quarter, like March, June, September, December, to get so they can't cherry pick the date to best satisfy their plan, which still isn't working because that groundwater is still too high for the system. They might as well just be dumping the sewage directly into the creek. And then the other thing, we met with your staff yesterday. They're very receptive, but one thing that stood out, Roy O'Connor said that he is for to be in charge of all the sewer systems for 6 northern counties. There's 0.5 PY. It seemed like that should be increased. It seemed like 0.5 PY is just not enough to do what they have to do. So, thank you.
Great, thank you. Let's take one more on this item with Bill Mao. If I have that last name right.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. I just want to stress to you the concern of the people in Scott Valley.
Excuse me, can you tell us your name, please?
Bill Marks, M-A-R-X.
Marks.
No problem. I just can't stress to you enough about the concerns of the people in Scott Valley about what's going on at the JH Ranch. We need clean water. And thank you for all your help and have a good day.
Great. Like I said, I remember when we took on that order and item for JH Ranch, we did accelerate, I believe at the board of request, to have the installation of monitoring wells and acceleration of some of the characterization out here. Without flying out in left field here, it might be good. Let me ask it this way. Can we have a review of compliance with the order as it was written in consideration with the comments we heard today of any change or deviation to the operation of that facility and go from there?
Yeah, I'll definitely meet with Charles and Roy. We'll take a look at the monitoring reporting program, the reports that we've received, do an assessment of what's the data that we've received, what's it looking like, and consider any revisions as necessary.
Okay, fair enough.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming over today. Really appreciate
it. Thank you for being here.
You bet. I have one last speaker card for Susan Vicky.
Okay. Hi, I'm Susan Fricke. I'm the Water Quality Program Manager for the Creek Tribe. Hello, good morning, Chairman and Board. It's nice to be in front of you again. For the public comment, I'll be speaking in front of you a few times today, but specifically right now, Klamath National Forest is asking to enroll the Syed Horse Risk Reduction Project, which is another fancy name for a salvage logging operation that they're proposing yet again. Both Horse Creek and Syed Creek are already listed. They had fires on them, of course, which is why they're trying to do a salvage logging operation. There's also been a lot of restoration money spent from state, feds, tribal resources to try to make really good like coho rearing and coho like off-channel ponds in both Syed and Horse Creek. And I find it really unfortunate that this is yet another salvage logging project. I'm in front of you guys again today that will be could just be automatically enrolled under the waiver. The effects, the sediment effects, as stated in the EA, are going to be immediate from the salvage logging operation. They're going to happen. Whereas the mitigation is legacy treatment sites, which to really fully realize the effects of the legacy treatment sites is like a 100-year flood event. So I'm still concerned as in how we can keep enrolling these projects, which will have immediate effects on our watersheds and coho critical habitat, when the offset is these legacy site treatments that are going to be happening maybe over the next 30 years if the funding comes through again and again. And I forgot to say these comments, we're going to be submitting written comments on behalf of the Creek Tribe, Western Environmental Law Center, EPIC, and KS Wild will be working together again on this project. But this is, I think, the third salvage logging operation that's being enrolled under the waiver. So maybe this is time to reassess how you guys are doing this.
Mr. Gisi, question? Thank you, Susan. Are there specific aspects in the waiver that you could put in writing and deliver to Matt that you feel don't address water quality concerns or riparian impacts?
Absolutely.
You know, it'd be helpful to have specifics for staff to review.
Good. I just wanted to give you guys guys and ladies, a heads up on this so that then you can look for written comments coming from our coalition in a little bit. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Mr. John Corbett.
Thank you for pointing out the disparity between the 100-year plane and emergency salvage operations. Two very different concepts, and that's going to have to be resolved. I want to ask you, in some cases, it's very site-specific. I have no particular knowledge of this particular site. We have found that the roads actually, the trade-off is you get the salvage to do immediate road repairs because the fire will wash out over the roads because the increased accelerated erosion. Is that a problem on this site, or do you know?
I'm not sure on the site. I actually haven't. I've had my colleagues have read the EA. I haven't had a chance to do it. I've been on travel all week, and I think it just came out late last week. So I haven't had a chance to review the water quality specific impacts. I more just wanted to give you a heads up, but I will keep that in mind as we're reframing our comments for the board. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. I have one late card, actually, and it's Mr. Ken Palpini, current mayor of City of Wheaton. Yes, sir.
Stand.
By the way, I want to also thank you for letting us come to your city, use your chambers, and invade your space a little bit.
Pleasure to have you, actually. It doesn't get used enough.
Thank you.
Ken Palpini, City of Wheaton's current mayor. I just wanted to speak regarding, you've had several comments from some groups that are addressing our water and sewer issues. And then I am not a left side or a right side to this issue. I'm always a middle of the road kind of guy, so I kind of always waver down somewhere. Although I would agree, don't totally agree with a lot of their comments because they are cherry picking some of the information. There is enough information that they are providing that warrants some stewardship and a sentinel at the gate. And so I would like to this board on whatever those issues are regarding water rights, regarding, I don't believe you're in control of the water rights issue, but on the sewer issue, on the drainage issue, those definitely need to be addressed. The current owner of Roseburg Forest Products have brought this upon themselves because of, in my opinion, a lot of not quite fair negotiations with the city of Weed. So a lot of citizens have taken it upon themselves to try and get a little bit of justice. And for whatever you folks can do, the citizens of Weed, I would sincerely appreciate it. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, for one, for your comments, for two, for just the openness of dialogue with our agency. Again, we're an open public agency that's subject to rules and engagement and openness here, so, and public process. So certainly if we can do something or if something needs to be disclosed, please deal directly with Max. And you want to go for
it? All right. Thank you very much.
Great.
Again, thanks for the
name. Yeah. We have one more. Mr. Bob Hall. And is this public forum, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. So Bob, I'd ask you actually have item number five and public forum, it looks like. So can you do me a favor and just do out another one for item five? Just do out another card for that item.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Will
just
do.
For myself.
Bob Hall, Weed community member, also a member of the city council, not speaking for the council, but and I'm also a member of the Wire for Weed Citizens. My first, you know, also want to welcome the Weed and thank you. And we are looking for guidance. And our experience with water has really made it quite evident that there's a lot of different entities. But right now, as far as the water issue being resolved, it's about who has the most money for legal defense or legal action. And in the future, we're really going to be depending on you, this type of forum, to make these decisions. Right now, we have a situation where we have the Shasta Sky Valley Water District. I don't think you work much with them. What I understand, we have Sigma coming in, and I talked to them about the Shasta Sky Valley Water District, and nobody seems to be working together. And with the issues that are going to be coming our way regarding water, I mean, every day it intensifies. You know more than anybody. But my question is, not question, I guess my point is, my comment is, in the future, we have so many issues regarding the California water law regarding leases. How long can a lease be? What is it for? What's going to happen when we have these water right issues coming down that are based on that people haven't used the water for 7,500 years. And they say, well, I have that water right. The people downstream they've been using for the past 100 years, they don't have that water anymore. I mean, those are issues that are coming that makes me wonder, who do you go to? Because we've been to DWR, we've been to our water district here. We started 2 years ago when you met in Wairika and knew nothing. And what we found is that there is a language that needs to be spoke. And you are the ones that... We need somebody to start understanding that the common person really doesn't have much of a forum here. When it really comes down, because it's going to be resolved in court, most of these issues. But I think there's basic California law that needs to be revisited and actually policed. The other issue I wanted to talk about is just the leach fields, with the future of leach fields and their regulation. But I'll talk later. But more importantly, I appreciate you being here. But there right now there is just the water issues are. It's incredible you want to deal with a water issue, all the different channels you have to go through, and when you get to one, it's dropped. Your DWR, okay, well, we can't help you. It's dropped. I mean, there are basic rights here that are going to be so important and probably you know, if we look 100 years ahead, and what we're doing right now is setting the grounds for what's going to happen in 100 years from now. And somebody has to collect, to, you know, get come together to be the body, the deciding force. And these entities need to work together. And it's not just this water. I'm on city council, and I know that for the longest time it's been, you know, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And not only in the city, just in all of the government agencies. But what's coming down with water, we need you. There are people like you, and you have a right now. You have the most respect of any but a group that we've worked with. You answered that, so thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for your comments. Okay, one more.
Is that me?
You have a public comment. Is it
yes.
A public forum comment? Good morning. Ms. Betsy?
Fair.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. And the problem that I see, overriding problem in this whole area, is that this is a rural county. We don't have a lot of people that live in all of Siskiyou County. And I would think, you know, I'd lived in the Bay Area for many, many years, and when you have a lot of numbers of people that have mutual problems, they can be heard. And the problem up here is that we're so remote, and our water and the drainage that we're talking about, the different the way they treat the way wastewater is treated, all these things are so important up here, and it just seems like some of this is forgotten. And we've got, I understand that there's two different water boards that are in charge of the whole Mount Shasta area. So we have people with large companies that are coming in and sticking their straws into Mount Shasta. So you've got weed here, you've got when I say Mount Shasta, I'm talking about the mountain and the aquifers. You've got weed here, you've got McLeod and further south, and you have Mount Shasta further south. We're all part of Mount Shasta, but we're treated separately. And I just think that it's too bad that we're lost. It's too bad that somebody created a need for bottled water when in the 60s and 70s there wasn't a need. Now it's a need to have bottled water, and taking our precious resource that it could go downstream, go to Sacramento eventually. It's just a shame that we don't have more of a say in our own area about the water. And I just think that in terms of the waste, I was here at the city council meeting where Roseburg said, they actually threatened, if you don't allow us access to your sewer ponds, your sewer system, we will cut off your water and we won't give you any water to drink. So you better sign that you're going to give us access to your sewer system. I think that's reprehensible. And I think something needs to be done about it. And there needs to be a lot of investigation before they are given the okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Forgive me.
David K. Spear, Mount Shasta, 14, going on 15 years. Very lucky. Everybody here who knows me expects me to talk about something else that's in the sky. I won't talk about that today. There's enough evidence out on it. I came to spontaneously, I was moved to listening to all of this, realizing that I met a woman by phone who's an expert in water quality. She's an expert on growing food. She's an expert on a lot of things. And I highly recommend that you and everyone in this room call her or buy her books. Her name is Anna Eady, A-N-N-A-E-D-D-Y. She wrote a book 10 years ago called Solviva, How to Grow Food Year-Round in a Passive Solar Greenhouse. She wrote a book 3 years ago called Green Light. And in that book, Green Light, is overwhelming evidence from Martha's Vineyard, which has a serious septic tank problem. They have a serious municipal water treatment problem. And she has a simple solution for you. I won't tell you what it is. You got to get the book, Green Light. It's a shame that this wonderful human being, who happens to be a single mom, raised a daughter in Martha's Vineyard, running a restaurant. She is a model citizen for the world. I called her up when I moved here 14 years ago. I fell in love with her. I invited her to come to Mount Shasta to speak. She's 70 now. It's too bad that her book, Green Light's, not on Amazon anymore, but you can still get it. The review of that book on the back cover, the people who reviewed that book, many of them I know personally or indirectly from my experience, for what that's worth. 40 years of being dedicated to protecting this earth because of the father and grandfather that raised me and my mother. They taught me simply to be morally responsible and to always leave it. My dad took us camping and we always went to Grandpa's farm across the Michigan border. And they taught me the value to be morally responsible to ourselves, to the earth. And when we went camping, we usually did state parks and national parks. My dad was really big on this. Always leave it better. And with that said, I didn't plan any of this. One thing we know about water, it's not my opinion, it's a fact. Nowhere on this planet is there an example of a bottled water industry or a beverage manufacturing plant that has helped a community in the long term to any extent. And that's probably why the people of Orland said no to Crystal Geyser. Let's make this world a better place, and let's simply get along. There's nothing to argue about. We can have paradise. So please contact Anna Eady. She has years of experience. Her water comes out cleaner than the municipal water plant, and it comes out cleaner than the septic plant, and we got serious problems with both. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. All right, I'm going to close public forum. We have an information item which I believe is rather quick.